We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm in the driver's seat this morning. I'm Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Jason Mong. How are you doing this morning, brother?
I'm good this morning. How are you, ladies?
Blessed and highly flavored with his favor.
Right on.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can also post it to our Facebook page, and we'll do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get that posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Drew's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning out of Corn, Oklahoma. If you need anything done, you can contact Drew's at 580-243-2525. Remember to like, share, and comment so that we know that you're tuned in. I think I covered it all.
Get it all?
I think, man. Change messes with me a little bit. But I'm so glad I have my Jesus and the Holy Spirit
now, right?
Because they keep me in it, you know, and remind me, it's okay, keep going, keep going. It's okay.
That's right.
Would you please pray to start us out, sir?
You bet. So, Father, we just thank you for this day. Father, this morning I just submit my life to you. I submit my voice to you, Father. I just thank you for your Holy Spirit who you have given us as your gift, Father. Just to speak in these moments, Father, that I would just be the messenger today to deliver what you have to say, God. We thank you for your word, Father, and that would fall on the hearts of men and women, Father, today and bring forth good fruit in their life, Father. I just thank you for that. We just ask you to bless your word as it's brought forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, Baptisms in Water and Spirit.
Yeah, and Spirit. So I was actually reading a little bit last night, and something stuck out to me, and it caught my interest. And so before it was all over, I had a teaching. So I thought, this is really cool. I want to share this today. I haven't actually visited baptism in a while. Earlier on in the spring of this year, we had several people that was in our home group that were being baptized. And so we kind of honed in on baptism and looked at that according to the word. But even as I was studying last night and just kind of reading through, and this really caught my attention, then I started to deep dive. One of the things that God was just kind of showing me and reminding me of is what he has been saying all through the year of 2023, is that a big harvest is coming, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something that I know even from within the Holy Spirit. I used to love basketball back in the days when I was in high school, and I can always remember there was a moment right before the game, like you're in the locker room, you're fully dressed, and there's a moment where you're fixing to start to walk out on the edge of the court, and the inside of you is just like, right? You're just, you feel these little jitters, yeah, like these little butterflies going. And it's not a negative nervousness, but it's an excitement, right? That I'm fixing to take the court, we're fixing to get out there, we're going to play this game. And that's exactly what I've been feeling on the inside over the last few months as we've ended 2023, is just this anticipation, this excitement that I believe the body of Christ is about to be thrust forward, and there's going to be an influx of people coming like we have never seen before. And I thought, what better teaching at this time than to lay out the foundation of what baptism is in our life? Because as we see, according to the word, the confession of our mouth, the belief in our heart, is an important aspect of our salvation, but also we're to follow in the baptism. He instructs us to do that, to be baptized. And as I was reading scripture about this, again, we see a physical baptism of water, but we also see a spiritual baptism in the Spirit. And so I was reading last night, the actual scripture that I'd started on, that I'd came across, was actually in John. And I'm gonna touch on it in a minute, and we'll read it a little bit later, but So what he says here in John 4 and 1 and 2, he was going on about how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was baptizing. But then John the writer, he puts it out there and says, well, I want to clarify here. Jesus himself didn't baptize. The disciples that are following him did the baptism. And I thought, I wonder why that's such an important key. And so I just kind of started going backwards. And I thought, this is really cool. And what happened out of this was a teaching of, I'm going to go through the Old Testament to the New Testament about the foretelling of what John the Baptist was going to do. And then even as things that John the Baptist said into Jesus's life and how all that played out through Scripture. So we're actually going to start this morning in Malachi and 3 and verse 1. And so I'll go ahead and read this. And I do read out of the New Living Translation. So if yours sounds just a little bit different than mine, that may be why. But let's go ahead and start. Malachi 3 and 1. It says, look, I am sending my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you look so eagerly for is surely coming, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So what, if you don't know what you just heard right there, this is the foretelling of John the Baptist coming to prepare the way for God, right? To prepare the way for Jesus to come and deliver the message. That, and it says here in Malachi that he was coming to his temple. So Malachi prophesies this, and I also want to go into Isaiah 40. We don't have to turn there, but this is where this states, and I'll just kind of preface this, that Isaiah 40 also prophesies that John the Baptist would be the voice calling in the wilderness, clearing the way for the Lord, right? What I think was really cool, when I was sitting here reading this, these thoughts came to my mind. So I thought, well, if I'm thinking it, maybe somebody else is too. So I looked up some of this information, and one of the things that I noticed was the prophets of Malachi and the prophet Isaiah, there was about 200 years that had transpired in there. So what I love about this is not something that, when you look at the Bible, the one thing that has stood out to me the most is how the Bible confirms itself, right? And I always tell people that, like, you don't have to prove God, you don't have to argue God, you don't have to defend God. He will take care of that on his own, and as a matter of fact, when you get into the Word does that itself. It proves itself. I don't have to convince you of anything. And so what I loved about this was, as I was going through here, just seeing even the spans of time that was going by, how the message was still clear, right? And the Word was still proving itself. So I just thought that was really cool. So from here, we're going to go into Luke 1 and 41. So let me turn there. So I'm going to start in verse 41. I'm going to back up a little bit. Let's go to verse 39. So I'll just kind of give you, and again, these scriptures that I'm sharing, I always tell you guys, go read around them. Don't just go in. We're not just going here and picking out onesies and building something. These are in use in context of where we're speaking, but you can go gather these whole stories as you read here. But in Luke 1 and verse 39, I'm going to read here. It says, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in the womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said. So, if you haven't read this, what we're seeing here is Elizabeth is actually Mary, the mother of Jesus's aunt, and she was going to visit her, and both of them, a few months apart, were pregnant with both Jesus and John the Baptist. So we see the foretelling in the old books of the prophets of Malachi and of Isaiah of the coming of both of these children, right? And I think it's just so cool to see how both of these entered the world about the same time. And even in the womb, God is still confirming the word that he gave over 400 years previously, right? I think that's so cool. So in this moment, Jesus is in the belly of Mary, and John the Baptist is in the belly of Elizabeth. And just upon Mary's entering the room, the presence of Jesus entering the room, John the Baptist was awakened, right, and was kicking and alive. And what did that spur on? It said in that moment, the Holy Spirit literally came upon Elizabeth, and she prophesied to Mary, right? And she blessed her. And I thought, this is really cool, man. So just to see how through the time of Scripture as it just passed, how God's fulfillment of the things that he said were coming to pass. And now on the other side of that for us, you know, these things, how cool would it be to be in the moment? But I even love where we're at in our time in history to get to look back and see for hundreds of years how the word has just continually been written and continually confirmed over and over and over. So, of course, as we see and we move on through the story, as we go through, of course, Jesus and John the Baptist both come into walk in the fullness of their ministry. And this is kind of where I started with that, where it all became, we're going to go into Matthew 3 and 11. Now, this is John the Baptist speaking. And he says, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater than I am not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so this was a scripture that for me has been a life-changing experience, to be honest. I had read through Matthew, I don't know how many times in my life, but there was a particular point, and this wasn't too many years ago, that I came across that, and I read Matthew 3:11, and what really stuck out to me, I understand the baptism for the repentance of sins, that's what John the Baptist was doing, and what he was doing was something that was a picture in the natural for us, right? They were seeing the immersion of people in water, but understand at that time, Jesus had not died on the cross. So the new covenant was not into full effect. But what John was doing in that moment was teaching them about the truth of you need to repent for the sins, right? Because up until this point, when you read to the Old Testament, they were walking the law of Moses and doing all these ceremonies and things to get their hearts clean, to be right before God in that way. But he was preparing for the message of Jesus that was about to come and say, guess what? We're going to do away with that old way of something, and now a new covenant is now coming in. And part of that is going to be this baptism. But what he was doing, his part, was to prepare, right? It was to prepare the eyes, the hearts of men in baptism. And so what he was doing is he was baptizing in water, but he was very clear about what his purpose was. And his purpose was, this is for the repentance of your sins, right? That's all I can baptize into you. But he's pointing forward to there's one that's coming greater. And he says, what is going to happen in that place? He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So when I came across that later in my years, I thought, you know, I've read this 100 times, but what does it really mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? And then he also even mentions that fire. And I'm not going to get into the fire teaching today because that spins off on a whole new thing. And it's amazing, but I just don't have time for that today. So we're really going to focus on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we can see John again pointing to the message of Jesus Christ here and what he's doing. And then I'm going to jump over to my next scripture. And this is the one that I talked about first there. And again, we're in John 4, 1 and 2. So it says, Jesus knew that the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. And then John the writer here notes, though Jesus himself did not baptize them, his disciples did. So I started thinking about that. I thought, man, why wouldn't Jesus baptize? And I thought, well, yeah, because I remember the words in Matthew that John had said, right? Jesus is not going to walk in a physical baptism because what Jesus is called to is something in the supernatural, not the natural. John was the preparation. He was the showing. He was the bringing. He was the clearing of the way for the message that Jesus was going to bring. And the message that he was going to bring was, now I'm going to bring a baptism, but it's going to be in spirit. And we actually talked about this a little bit the last time I was here, where we talked about flesh is born of flesh, but spirit is born of spirit, right? It has to take that spirit that is Jesus himself for us to be born again in the spirit. And what does that look like? And I had made a note here, too. I was thinking about this last night. I thought, you know, as teachers, sometimes we want to go get all this just cool information just so it makes a good sermon. But I thought, those are just some of the questions that come across my mind on, like, when these words are delivered, how much time frame had passed here? Is this one generation to the next? Is this people living at the same time where they're hearing this thing? And when we look at the Old Testament writings, a lot of times there was a lot of space in between there. And I just noted here, there was approximately 400 years between the word of Malachi and then the actual fruition of that word coming true in the New Testament. And just for those maybe there who are interested in those things, kind of like I was, that was prophesied in 420 BC and didn't actually come until fulfillment until 1 AD. So almost 420 years had already passed before we see the fulfillment of that. But to me, again, that's what I think is so cool about Scripture, is to see, to get the full picture, to look at this whole thing now on the other side of all of these happenings, to see how God's consistency stayed firm through the entire word. And again, at this point, I want to remind people, sometimes you'll read two things and they'll feel or seem in that moment in your understanding to be a contradiction. But in those places, understand the word will never, ever contradict itself, ever. So what we have to do is understand, okay, if I'm reading this and I'm reading that and I see a contradiction, what is it at fallacy in that moment is my thoughts, my understanding, right? I'm not seeing this clearly. I'm not getting the full truth of what this is saying. So it's not that the word is contradicting itself in any way. It's that my understanding of those two things are in contradiction. So I always tell people in that way, if you have a good teacher around you, seek those that are out around you and say, hey, I need a little clarification of this. Even more so, ask the Holy Spirit. These things don't match up for me, and I know that that's not you, so I need those to match up for me. So I want you to show me. Show me the truth of the word. And with those resources that God has given us, the body of Christ, the leadership in it, and even more so the Holy Spirit himself that is inside of us, because as we'll touch on in a little bit, that's what the Holy Spirit's job, this baptism that Jesus is actually going to bring to us, is actually the teacher himself, the helper, the advocate, right, that now gets inside of us. And according to the word, it actually says, you don't even need a teacher anymore. Because once I live inside of you, guess what? I will write my laws on the tablet of your heart. I will become your guide and your teacher in that way. But what I love about this is, hey, we as the body of Christ get to share the scriptures to build up, encourage, and train and equip one another, right? So in that way, that's where we can become a help to that person that says, hey, man, I'm just not quite seeing it. Like, why aren't these two things making sense? And maybe those are things that we can dig in together and bring each other to closer to the truth of what the Word of God says. So I think that's really cool. So the question I was kind of posing in here again that really sparked me was, why didn't Jesus baptize in the water? And what I really started thinking about that, as clear as it is in Scripture, it was with purpose, right? It was with purpose that Jesus didn't physically baptize in water, because his purpose was going to be about the baptism of the Spirit, which John the Baptist himself clarified, right? There's one who's coming after me, but he's not going to do this water thing. It's going to be something even greater. There's going to be a spiritual baptism that now you can walk in, and it's going to bring a freedom to your life that you have never experienced before whatsoever. So I think that's awesome. I get excited about it. So we're going to go ahead and take time to take a break here, let you chew on that a little bit, and we'll continue on.
Okay. You got any prayer requests over there, sister? Okay.
We prayed for little Emily Lloyd yesterday. She, right before Christmas, they reconstructed her vocal cords. It was pretty extensive surgery. So overnight, she started running fever, and she's throwing up today. So we want to pray for her and also for her mom, because they're possibly going to have to stay until the 12th. And she has other kids at home, too. So.
And I want to add one to that, but I want to make sure I get the name right. It's Emerson, and that is Jace Morrow's daughter, Jace and Shanda Morrow's daughter. Yes. She's actually been in the hospital. They've been up in Oklahoma City at the hospital. So I guess from what I've read, it seems like she's got a couple of viruses, more than one virus that she's been fighting.
Okay.
And it's just, yeah.
And Emerson?
Yes, okay. little Miss Emerson tomorrow. Okay.
So let's pray about these. So, Father, we just thank you that you care for us, that you love us so much to intervene on our behalf while we're here, God. I thank you for that. I thank you for what you did on the cross, that you purchased the healing for our bodies, God, that we could walk in the fullness of health and wellness and wholeness because you are inside of us. Father, we're thankful for that today. So, Father, I just want to lift up Emily today. Father, I thank you for having your hand already on that, and the doctors and the nurses, the hospital staff, all of those people, Father. But I thank you that your hand is moving today, God. And I thank you, Father, that her fever will break, that it will go away, because there is no infection or infirmity that will continue to mess with her body, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for full and total recovery, even better than it was before, God, in her life, Father. For her throat, for her vocal cords, Father, we just speak healing to those things right now in Jesus' name. Father, we want to lift up Emerson. Father, again, it doesn't matter what men name things, Father. Every one of those things are under your feet. So whatever this virus or bacteria or whatever it is that's going in her body that's causing sickness and weakness, Father, we just speak to that thing and we call it dead in Jesus' name. And Father, I'm just reminded of one of the words that you've given me through the voices of the prophets for today, Father, that you said, stop agreeing with the reports of the doctors and start agreeing with the reports of God. And Father, we thank you that you give us doctors, but Father, we don't have to. Their reports are only for identification. It's not for us to put our belief in, Father. So Father, we put our belief in your word today, Father. And I also want to add my father-in-law to this list today. He's actually going to visit the doctor today. And Father, we have been expecting amazing things in his life, Father. And I thank you that today a confirmation of your word and the prayers that we have lifted up before you will be in his life today, Father. And we just thank you for total healing and restoration in his body. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse, Tammy Bailey. Sorry.
You're good. It's okay. So change has an effect on you, too. But it's okay. It's okay. For me, change, and this is something the Lord, because I really used to get bad anxiety with change.
Right.
I mean, after some things that I went through with my husband and my daughter passing, I went through a season where I would just, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. And now when something changes, I fight the good fight and say, no,
right,
I'm not going to bow down to anxiety. I refuse.
Yeah.
I will continue on, and I will do my best to continue on.
Right. That's right.
That's how we get through it.
Yep.
Our sponsor for today is Drew's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all your plumbing and HVAC needs, call Drew's at 580-343-2525. A company that cares. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
We are back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power. Our guest for today is Jason Mong. His title for today is Baptisms in Water and in Spirit. Before we get back, can we take a moment and my sweet mama, I love you, mama, ask for prayers for our family.
You bet.
God knows.
Yeah, Father, we just thank you for moving with Monica's family, God. I just lift them up before you, because you do know every situation, you know everything that's going on, and they've just requested that you move there. So, Father, I just thank you for doing that on their behalf. I thank you that you're such a loving Father. I'm just reminded of your word, Father, that says that you're a Father that just loves to give good gifts. So, Father, we just thank you and receive those things that you have for the Lovell family today in Jesus' name.
Amen. Oh, where'd my pen go?
Oh, I took it.
Oh, okay.
I stole your pen.
Okay, now let's get back to this teaching.
All right, let's continue on. So now we're actually going to 1 Corinthians. And now in the context, this may seem a little bit different when you get in here and you start reading this, because in the context of this, he's actually talking about sexual sin. That's where he's using this. But there's a part in here, there's a nugget inside of this that talks about this teaching and what we're talking about with what we're experiencing when we are baptized into the Spirit, right? So, again, let's go back to the water baptism real quick. So we see what John said in that place. And what we need to realize is the baptism that John the Baptist was giving to those that were in his time is not the same one that we receive. But it was the preparation that was going. Again, it was a showing of the natural. And one of the things I've noticed when I've reading the Word is oftentimes you will see things in the natural and then the supernatural of those things are the ones that follow, right? And that's what we see even with prophecy. God gives us something, an information in the natural, because he's given you a heads up of what is coming in the supernatural. And I'm going to run off on a little side note here real quick, because this is good. So when looking at that, there's one of the things that that I've been talking about over the last few months as I've got to come and share with you guys, is we've really been looking in and highlighting the fivefold ministry and the gifts that God has given to the church. And one of those, the being those gifts, is the voice of the prophet, right? The prophet that is there and speaking the words of God. And again, we have to understand, when a prophet speaks, it is not that man or that woman's words. Those are God's words, right? So we always have to look at the context of when someone is speaking, that I don't say so-and-so said. That's what God had to say, right? And we need to be attentive to that. And one of the things I've noticed that has been coming, and we've been talking about this, is I've been teaching you there's something that's coming. There's something that's coming, right? And now we see things again in the natural. Those things are starting to rise to the surface. And some of those things we thought, oh, we'll never see the end of this, or they're getting away with this and that and the other when it comes to the things of the natural, right? But God has been doing something in the background where there's going to be a manifestation in the supernatural, and I love that. But what I want you to understand is you play a major part in that. And I want to tie this into what we're looking at. What does that look like into our baptism? Because when we get baptized and the Holy Spirit then becomes a part of who we are, God himself literally lives inside of us. So when God speaks through the voices of the prophets, it is our job, right, our responsibility even, to come into agreement with the words of God so that those things that he gave us in the natural, we begin to see the fruit of those come in the supernatural, right? So to explain that out, when a prophet speaks, for example, it was a prophet that spoke and said, it is time to stop agreeing with the words of the doctors. Stop agreeing with the report of the doctor and start agreeing with the report of the Lord. The report of the Lord would say that by Jesus' stripes we are healed, no matter what report the doctor would bring, right? Because we can throw in whatever and use X. The doctor says you have X, you know, it doesn't matter. That's the report of the doctor. But where we come into play in that and understanding who we are in Christ is when the prophet speaks those words, that is God reminding us again and saying, this is my will for your life. He's already given us his written will, right? We see the word of God. We see all through scripture where he talks about the healing of our bodies and how that is for us. So when the prophet speaks that, then I must take heed of the words, agree, and then call them forth. Because what does it say in the Old Testament? It says, if you decree a thing, then it will be. That is the spirit that God has given us. It is a spirit of authority. It is a spirit of power. So that when we come in agreement with the words of God, and as we see according to the word, what does he say? If you'll ask anything in my name, according to my will, you'll get it. You will get it. And what we've done over our Christian lives, in my experiences, is we have done those things in walking out what we see according to the word, but we didn't see them happen. And so then from that, we formulated a faith based on the circumstance instead of the truth, right? And it's like what God is calling us to in a place is you need to stop looking at the things that you see. You need to stop listening to the things that you hear that are contrary to the truth of what I'm bringing. Because I cannot bring that truth until you agree. I mean, how many times do we see that through the word when you see Jesus himself walking through? How many times did you see those words come in his mouth? Your faith has made you whole, right? It was Jesus showed up in that moment. He was bringing the will of God there, but it takes your agreement with that for it to come to pass because he's a gentleman, right? We're not robots. He's not going to force his will on us. He's not just going to implant it in. I know I heard a friend of mine say this week, I wish he could just take a chip and stick it in there, and then I got it all. And then I thought, yeah, we do wish that because we want the greater things of God. But how cool is it to enjoy the journey of that with him, to be led by him in relationship, in friendship, in love, to experience those things instead of just a one and done. You know, because one and done is like, that's the computer. We just stick it in. We got it all. Like, nobody wants that. You want your choices. You want free will. You want the opportunity to choose, right? And God wants that for you, too. Matter of fact, he made you that way. And so I love that to see it. And what he was really showing me in that is, so when you hear the voices of the prophets speak those things, then what we must do is come into agreement. We come into agreement. And that is literally what brings forth the voice of God. That's what brings forth the fruit of the thing that God spoke. And, you know, when we look in the natural things, what's going on in America, the upheavals, the political chaos, right? And even the things in the natural, when it just comes to taxation and them taking advantage of our finances and all of those things, it has kept us suppressed. It has kept us in a slavery type mentality, just like we see in the book of the Old Testament, Exodus, right? Where the Israelites were basically just taxed to death. And because of that, Egypt could rule and reign over them and be over in position over them, which is not what God intended. And again, today it's the same way. This is not what God intended. And the only difference is they realized they were slaves. We didn't even know it until now. Like, we're being awakened, right?